The fall of Saddam Hussein has offered the Iraqi people a chance to practice their religions more freely. The end of that regime has also opened the door for evangelical groups throughout the country. Under Saddam Hussein, Iraq's nearly 1 million Catholics and Protestants were tolerated, but evangelicals were banned from the country. Today, however, evangelicals are winning more and more converts. But as NPR's Jackie Lydon reports, evangelical gains are producing tension within the traditional Christian community in Iraq.
On an April morning in Ankawa, a Christian suburb of Erbil in northern Iraq, a revival meeting is in full force. In attendance are seven tired but well-scrubbed American missionaries who hail from Eden Prairie, Minnesota. On stage, there's a charismatic Jordanian minister who's traveled with them from Amman to Istanbul to Erbil. He's preaching fervently in Arabic, and it's being interpreted into Kurdish for about 300 people. The meeting is being held not at a church, but at a rented hall. People have been bussed in from as far away as Baghdad. They chant, they bow their heads, and testify, palms uplifted and hands outstretched to heaven. One of those offering up praise is a 40-year-old engineer and translator called Najib, a Muslim convert to the Kurdish Church of Christ, who says he is now saved.
I was Muslim just in the idea, but I wasn't believing in any God, really. I feel I am a sinner. I did bad things. I need God to forgive me. And he forgave me through Jesus. And I was looking for eternal happiness. And I know that eternal happiness is not by collecting money or have power or have degree, high degrees. Because always there is death at the end. So the eternal happiness should be in another place. And I found it in Jesus.
In the Middle Ages, some Muslims in northern Iraq converted to Christianity. One popular Chaldean saint was said to have been a Muslim chieftain. But ever since, Islamic conversion to Christianity was prohibited. And so, admits Najib, his family isn't quite over the shock of his embrace of Christ Jesus.
My family, they are upset with me. But it's my life, and I pray for them so they know Jesus also.
But it isn't primarily Muslims who feel the appeal of Jesus Christ. The vast majority of the new converts are already Christians, either Syrian Orthodox or Catholic Chaldean. They want a more messianic Jesus. These three young Chaldean Catholic women, who were bused to the prayer meeting in Erbil from Baghdad, say their traditional church has lost its appeal. It seems remote and uncaring.
كل يوم نفس الشيء ينعاد. إحنا يعني نقوم من الصب بالكنيسة نفس الطقس نقعد ونقوم ما نعرف شنو هي بالديانة.
It's visiting a church. It was like a routine job. They were using rituals in the church. But now this is different.
وهي هاي ما هو هذا المفروض راح يصير. هو هذا احنا عندنا امل انه ان عندنا امل انه الكنيسه الحيه هي اللي تعلى والكنيسه القديمه تنزل.
We hope that the old church will be history and the new church will prevail.
Adherents to the new evangelical faith say they feel galvanized and that they have a more direct personal relationship with Jesus, whose spirit they say they can feel in the immediate dynamic service. And they say they are born again, that it's not a matter of being born Catholic or Orthodox. The evangelical services have more singing and skip the traditional Christian language, which is Aramaic. More importantly, says evangelist Gossin Thomas, who admits he was once Catholic, it has answers, scriptural certainties, and these are welcome in Iraq's troubling times.
Everything is dangerous. Terrorists, bombs, and they would like to find a real peace. And I don't know if you heard about Jesus has a real peace. God has a real peace. About that, they come to the church to try to find a real peace.
But the intensifying evangelical campaign deeply angers the Catholic Patriarch, Emmanuel Dely, who is the Catholic Church's highest authority in Iraq. On May 19th, after visiting the Vatican, Patriarch Dely gave a press conference in Paris in which he bitterly denounced the evangelical movement for passing off Christians as converted Muslims. Earlier, in spring in Baghdad, he told NPR that the new evangelical churches, by his count, there's at least 15, behave more like stores or shops.
في بعض منهم يجون ياخذون هالشباب.
That's what I call them, and you can call them whatever you like, but I call them like this because they are attracting young people by money, they are attracting them by cars, they are attracting them by journeys to the north, and they are writing back to the states that, look, we've been converted those non-faithful persons or young people to be faithful, you know, and by this way they will send them more money to attract other people.
Hello.
Good morning. We all say good morning. Oh Jesus, good morning.
At the Catholic Church of the Virgin Mary in Baghdad, Bishop Solomon Warduni leads the way to the nursery school. He too is upset because Iraqi evangelicals have just stopped by the school offering the children gifts.
We are more than 2,000 years Christian here. Now the Protestants, they come here to give us the gospel. Do you see that is logic? They want to buy our faith with these gifts. We want them to just come to say we love you. And to fortify our faith, not to steal our faithful. And some of them baptized our faithful. How I love you and you are Christian 2,000 years, now I baptize you again. It's shameful for Christianity. I mean, it is against God.
Still, in many ways, this is Iraq's first Christian culture war. The old laws against proselytizing meant that Catholics, Assyrian Orthodox, and Iraqi Protestant ministers didn't have to compete with the freewheeling, praise-making evangelical style or jostle for salvation. And the evangelical outreach of small gifts like food rations and clothing or invitations to religious retreats abroad look suspiciously like bribes to some. The three young women in Erbil at the revival meeting denied that material benefits persuaded them to join.
No.
We want to take our fees directly from God, not from people.
At one Presbyterian evangelical church established in Baghdad in 1954, the Egyptian pastor said that between 250 and 300 of his parishioners have left for evangelical churches. That's more than a third of the congregation. Many of them went around the corner to the Jesus is the Light of the World Church, which opened its doors within days of the fall of Baghdad. It now claims over 500 members. This is Father Gossant Thomas's church, the evangelical who first tried to establish a church underground in his home. Now, since 2003, he's attempted to reach out to his critics.
I told them, we love you. We have no problem. We don't need the customers. I don't have a supermarket to have a lot of customers. No. We need the people know who is Jesus Christ. About that, I am ready. If you have a poor people, I can help them and tell them it's from Jesus Christ. Don't tell them if it's from evangelical churches.
And he says most of the money he receives is from his parishioners. He teaches them to tithe, to give one-tenth of their income to the church, as Jesus' follower Mary, perhaps Mary Magdalene, is instructed to do.
Two Sundays ago, I preached about Mary, how she made Jesus be happy when she gave all what she has. And I told them now the church has no money. It will be go down. You know what they give? They give their gold to our church, and I have their gold to now. Do you like to see it?
Yes.
I will show you how the people, and the people... Oh, I'm sorry, I have no the key. Maybe tomorrow I can show you, because the key with my assistant. They give us their gold, and a poor woman, she works to clean the houses for 4 years. She gave me $3,000. She told me, this is for Jesus Christ.
But we were unable to confirm this story because Father Thomas wouldn't allow us to interview any of his parishioners. He also explicitly denied that he had any financial backing from the United States. He is, however, sponsored by the Christian and Missionary Alliance of Colorado Springs, which gave Father Thomas a check last year for $50,000. The Christian and Missionary Alliance has a historical tradition of international evangelism and features the Jesus is the Light of the World Church on its website. Bob Featherland, Vice President of International Ministries, says he thinks the Christian and Missionary Alliance churches, there are now two in Baghdad, are growing because they carry a message of hope and salvation.
If at any time in history the people of Iraq need a sense of being loved and need a sense of hope about the future, now is that time.
And, says Featherland, the Christian and Missionary Alliance does not send Americans to preach in Iraq, but rather emissaries like Dawson Thomas, who was trained in Lebanon. Featherland stressed that his church provides material assistance to all people in need of every faith, and that, in his opinion, all religious faith should depend upon freedom.
Everyone on planet Earth should have the opportunity to have freedom when it comes to choosing their faith. And if they desire to do so, even have freedom to change from one faith or belief system to another. Our agenda is to present the truth claims of Jesus Christ and then give people opportunity to respond without coercion. And so our agenda is not to go in and say, you are wrong, we are right, come follow us.
But the Chaldean Catholic Patriarch of Iraq, Emmanuel Deli, couldn't disagree more.
Not freedom. I call this chaos. These are not the rules of God. These are not the lessons that Almighty God have been learned us about, you know, to do whatever you like. This is not freedom. I can't call this freedom.
And in the small halls and the churches in Iraq, as in Erbil, the worshippers at evangelical services continue to increase, praising Jesus and sanctifying his glorious name as Christians battle it out in a country of mosques. Jackie Lighton, NPR News.
We have a sad note to add. The last Iraqi voice you hear in our story was that of interpreter Dr. Yasser Salehi. Dr. Salehi was killed yesterday in Baghdad as he drove near a U.S. convoy. He worked closely with Jackie on the story. The report you just heard would just not have been possible without him and his contribution. We offer condolences and thanks to Dr. Salehi's family. Thank you.